Good morning. How is everybody? It is great to be here. I am honored to be here. I know anytime a pastor invites someone to share at his church, I don't take that lightly. And I know that you are aware of what an incredible pastor you have in Pastor Mark. And I'm excited to be here. A little bit about myself, I suppose. I've been in full-time ministry. I was in full-time ministry for 20 years. Over the last year, I've actually stepped out of vocational ministry. And I have a civilian job now, is what I like to tell people. But I still love being able to be involved and helping to pastor, to care, to teach, to preach. And so any chance I get to especially give someone like Mark a time when he can get away, I'm honored to do that. I've been married. My wife and I have been married 17 years. We've got two boys. One of them is 10. One of them is 14. He's about to start high school, and we're not ready. I don't know who's less ready, him or me. It's a whole thing. And with your first, you kind of learn everything with them. And so it's like, all right, what do I need to have for back to school season? One of the things I knew I wanted to do is carve out some time to just do a father-son trip before he started this new season. And so this last weekend, we did a little camping trip, and we went up to north of Santa Barbara, up to like Gaviota, and then to a place called Halama Beach. And super fun, had a tent, all the stuff. And the first day we were there, we're walking back to our tent from the beach, and he's like, all right, Dad, what's for dinner? And it was at that moment that I realized that I am good at camping, but not planning. I had so many snacks and no real food. And so we went and roughed it and got a hamburger at a fast food joint. And But it's an interesting thing because if you're anything like me, you do feel a little bit of a tension. Even though we may be adults and we don't get summer break, we're not in school, but there is kind of this sense that summer is for relaxing, rest, time off. And as summer starts to come to an end and we see school looming and these other things, we start to feel like a little bit maybe of tension of it's work season, it's busy season, it's chaos season. We can kind of feel some sort of way about that. And today, I want to talk about this idea of vacation time or rest or time off, as well as time on or work. I think that many of us, we kind of split these into two different categories or two different buckets. There's time off time and then there's work time, but I think that there's actually a lot of overlap. For some of you guys in the room, maybe time off doesn't come easy for you or it doesn't sit well with you. Maybe you know someone who just has a really hard time doing nothing, sitting still, enjoying what is. For others of you, vacation might be the only thing that keeps you going. It's like, I know I got a trip in 3 months, and I'll do whatever I got to do to get there. It's like a carrot on the end of a string. And there's people in here, and we all feel different ways. We show up different ways in the midst of that kind of spectrum. But it's important for us to recognize that this trap that we often fall into of thinking that they are opposites, that's not totally true. Time off and time on are not disconnected from each other in a way that we think that they are. Even though Mark Twain famously said that work is a necessary evil to be avoided, and some of us are like, amen, there is a reality where work and rest are more like friends than they are enemies. But I think in our minds, we have them pitted against each other. There are two components of a healthy life. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 tells us that God blessed the man and woman and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, which is this like wrestling type of language. Rule over the fish and the sea and the birds in the sky and every living creature. We didn't end up with work because sin entered the world through this apple serpent situation. Work was actually part of God's good design for us. He blessed us with work. Don't be upset with me. I am just the messenger. There's a component of being made in God's image, a God who created, who wrestled the chaos and formed land and sea and sky and stars. There's a component of being made in God's image that means that we also are designed to work, to fill the earth and subdue it. Work is a good thing that many of us often do in unhealthy ways. There's a lot of those things in our lives. There's good things that we have figured out how to do in unhealthy ways. God himself modeled in the Genesis story this rhythm of work and rest. God works, so we work. God rests, so we should also rest. Work is not tied to sin, and rest is not tied to exhaustion. We do these things because God modeled it and then gave us clear instructions. In Exodus, we get to read through the Ten Commandments and Moses' teaching of God's law to God's children. And the fourth commandment specifically is one I want to look at today. Exodus chapter 20, we'll start in verse 8. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you or your son or daughter, your male or female servant, your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns." And then he teaches Israel why. There's this reason given for observing or remembering the Sabbath. He says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." It's interesting, actually, just as a side note, the first thing that was called holy was the Sabbath. There's a principle of firsts. And the first thing that was assigned this title, this word, this idea of being holy or set apart was this Sabbath rest. In Exodus, when Moses is giving this instruction to the people, they had just been liberated from slavery. These people are still, I imagine, processing the trauma that came along with hundreds of years of enslavement in Egypt. The plagues that they have observed happening, being chased down by the Egyptian army, the narrow escape through the Red Sea. And in this place, they are reminded, Moses is teaching them God's law and says, "Remember, in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh." And I imagine it being this message, this communication to people who have had ages and ages of being told that your only value is what you do. You are born to work and then you die. All that matters is how much you produce. This was the message for hundreds of years that the Israelites had to live in. And I mean, if you believe something for maybe a few months, if you hear something for a few months, you start to believe it. I can't imagine generationally what they believed their value was, their worth was. And so when Moses is teaching this fourth commandment to them, I imagine it's this tender message from their heavenly Father saying, "Child, it is okay to rest. Even God rested. The God who has delivered us, the God who has created, this God rested. And so we too can and should rest." Now, what many of us don't realize is that there is a record of Moses teaching the Ten Commandments a second time. Generally speaking, they're the same 10, but he's speaking them to a different group of people. This is 40 years later. Now, if you guys are familiar with the story, Israel is freed from slavery, and then they're led into the wilderness, and then they get lost, and they wander around for 40 years, and they make some not-so-good choices along the way, which we don't have time to get into. And so God tells Moses, and he tells the people of Israel, he says, none of you will see the promised land. Joshua and Caleb are the only ones that were told that were alive during the Exodus that are going to lead Israel into the promised land. So picture, if you will, the entire nation of Israel, all under 40 years old. This is who's about to enter into the promised land. I'm going to turn 43 in a couple weeks, and I still have no idea what I'm doing in life. So Moses, I imagine, is stressed about these kids. And so he teaches them the Ten Commandments. And I'm sure it wasn't just the second time that they had heard them, but it's the second time that the scriptures document Moses telling them God's commands. These are the ways that you should live your life. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, we see the second teaching of the fourth commandment. It says, observe, some translations say guard the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. So generally speaking, it's the same law. It's the same expectation. But the reason why, when Moses is teaching this commandment this time, the reason why is different, which I think is so fascinating. How many of you guys know that you can read scripture at one point in your life and you can get something out of it, and then 20 years later, 30 years later, all of a sudden it comes alive in a different way? The reason why this word from God, this law was given, Moses says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. And I think it's such an important difference here, and I want to spend the last half of my time talking about some of the things that we can pull out of this. In Exodus, the reason for the Sabbath, for rest, is the beauty and celebration of creation. It's because God modeled this for us. God worked for six and then rested. This is the flow or the rhythm that God created for us to live in. And so there was this reminder to God's children as they were just coming out of hundreds of years of slavery that you have not had a chance to live the way that God designed you to live, which is, yes, work, but also rest. In Deuteronomy, the rationale, the reminder, the reason for this is because God freed us from being enslaved. In Exodus, the Sabbath is about tapping into the rhythm of creation. It's this idea of this is how we become human. In Deuteronomy, the Sabbath is an act of defiance against Pharaoh and the slave drivers. This is how we remain human. We become human by putting a flag in the ground and saying, I am going to rest in the midst of my work. It'll be this flow, not two separate things, but this rhythm that God has created. And then in Deuteronomy, it is this reminder for us to stay human. In Exodus, it's a reminder to rest. In Deuteronomy, it's a warning about work. Do not forget what you were freed from. And here's what I think that we can begin to take away from these two teachings around this commandment. The first thing is that underworking and overworking both make us less human. underworking and overworking both make us less human. Aristotle taught, and this is kind of, I think, sunk into the culture of, a majority of our way of life, even now. He said, unemployment is a primary qualification of a worthwhile life. If you want to live a worthwhile life, be unemployed. And some of you guys are like, yeah, I know someone who's really embraced that teaching. I know someone who's really taken that to heart. There's a reality for us that, you know, the idea of not working has become glorified in a way that we start to actually lose sight that, no, work is a good thing. Work is one of the ways that we become fully human. No, work in and of itself, it can look a lot of different ways. It doesn't have to be a 9-to-5 job, but it's a way that we experience that fullness of life that God designed for us to have. It's not that work itself fulfills us, but it is a component of the rhythm that we were created for. There's a theologian named Miroslav Volf. He's a Croatian theologian, and he wrote an incredible book on this topic called The Theology of Work. And he narrowed down the definition of work because I don't know about you, but a lot of times we talk about calling and vocation and what I'm passionate about and what I get a paycheck for is it work if I don't get a paycheck? And he has this definition. He says, work is an activity that serves to satisfy the needs of the individual or others. Now, this quote is not meant to blow your minds, in case you were waiting for that. It is a really simplified, stripped down definition of what work is. It's an activity that is meant to satisfy the needs of yourself or others. Maybe that activity is earning a paycheck so you can pay for your rent or your mortgage. Maybe that activity is being a stay-at-home parent so that you are able to care for and raise up your children. Maybe that activity, maybe work for you in this time is as a student, and that is your work, and it's a way that you're beginning to build up this life ahead of you. Maybe it's sitting in a cubicle looking at Excel sheets all day. It can show up in so many different ways. Maybe it's a season of being retired, but you are pouring out and caring for and teaching or volunteering or mentoring, satisfying the needs of yourself or others. I think it's always important for us to be reminded that even Paul, the apostle, the greatest missionary who ever lived, he wrote 25% of the New Testament. Paul also had a job. We don't read a lot of those scriptures. Paul was a tent maker, and all throughout the epistles, you can read about his interactions with others in this role. Work isn't the goal, but it is a part of who we are created to be. So underworking makes us less human, but so does overworking. Israel were slaves in Egypt, and slaves don't get to rest. They are only as valuable as they are able to produce. Their humanity was absolutely stripped from them in this way. Pharaoh was a relentless tyrant, a cruel master, and no matter how much they produced, it was never enough. And you know what? Pharaoh is still alive today in a lot of our hearts. There's a little tiny Pharaoh sitting on one of our shoulders, whispering, you should really be doing more. You're not really that sick. You should go to work. Don't rest. Don't get better. Just power through it. Take an emergency and a ginger shot, you'll be fine. Surely you could do more. I know it's a difficult season, but that's no excuse to do less. I know you've got family waiting at home for you for dinner, but you're providing for them. I don't care that you're exhausted. You're only as good as what you produce. How many of you guys have ever gotten to work on a Monday morning or whenever it is that you may show up and people ask what you did over the weekend and you didn't do anything and you feel like a little bit of shame about it? Like, actually, sorry, I didn't really do anything. There's just something intrinsically in us. I think it's this tiny Pharaoh that is saying, you should be doing something. Yet our Heavenly Father was perfectly happy to rest on the seventh day and not apologize for it. And then command us to follow the same rhythm, the same flow. We work in unhealthy ways that emotionally and mentally, they put us right back into the slavery that we were freed from so long ago. There's two more things I want us to hold on to today in this idea as we explore this balance of time on and time off. The second one is that rest is no accident. It has to be planned and protected. It does not just happen. We do not accidentally feel rested. Most of us have a half a dozen things we have to do at night just to be able to convince our bodies to go to sleep. It has to be planned and protected. This last weekend when I did this trip with my son, this is the busiest month for me at work. This is the worst possible time to do this trip. But I knew that I had to do it because I was gonna preach about this on Sunday morning. I knew that I had to keep it locked in. I knew that I had to protect it because it's always gonna be there's always gonna be something important. There's always gonna be something else that's calling for our attention, for our time. And it could have been so easily for me to be like, hey, bud, instead of two nights, let's just do one. Or, hey, you know what? How about I just give you $100 and we call it even and you have a good high school freshman year. Just kidding. I'm not that terrible of a parent. But we have to plan and protect rest because it will not just naturally happen. I read the statistic that last year in 2024, 1/3 of America's vacation days were unused. We can't even rest when we get paid for it. There is something inside of us that is just, it just struggles with this. And I was talking to somebody after first service, and they were talking about how they have the luxury of working from home. And if you work from home, maybe you've had this experience. You probably work more hours than you did when you were in an office. There is this tendency that we have to just continue producing and doing. And for any of us who are not able to obey God's command to rest, to Sabbath, we are making ourselves, we're self-imposed slavery back into this kingdom that God freed us from with his mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Sabbath, rest is an act of resistance. It's a way to fight back against a broken system and a broken way of thinking, to push back against that voice in our heads that is screaming for us to produce more. Rest is how we say enough. Because work is a good thing, but it is not the only thing. It's a good thing, but it's not the only thing. And then the third thing that I want us to hold on to, and I really want us to internalize this as we move into the fall and work season. That's funny, my wife, she always gets sad when summer's coming to an end and the boys are about to go back to school, and I have to remind her, we live in Costa Mesa. It's summer until November here. Everybody else has to go back to school and work, but we still get the best weather. But this piece that's so important for us to remember is that good time off, it cannot fix what bad time on has broken. Good time off, good vacation, a week-long trip, a 2-week trip, a 3-week trip. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? It cannot fix what 9 months of unhealthy work habits has broken. You can't work like Pharaoh is your boss and then expect a weekend at Disneyland to fix it all. Those of us that are parents know that vacations are rarely even vacations. When our kids were younger, we used to just call them away games. It was the same amount of work, just a different field. And it always felt like we were trying to work our way up from a deficit. Good time off, a weekend, a day, a trip, whatever it might be, it cannot fix broken work habits, unhealthy ways of thinking and doing and being in our work. Remembering and guarding the Sabbath, it has more to do with the 6 days, I think, than it does with the one. I think that a good vacation, a good time away, has more to do with the way we work before it than what we do on it. The moment that we start thinking about taking time off or saying, man, I just can't wait for this weekend or this vacation or whatever it is, the moment we start thinking about it because I'm just so tired, I know that I have to take time off. I'm burnt out. I've got to take a mental health day. I'm so exhausted, I just cannot wait till whatever is next when I get to unplug. The moment we start thinking about trips and time off in that way, it should be a red flag. Because we're not supposed to rest because we are exhausted and burnt out. We're supposed to rest to be able to enjoy the beauty of what we have been putting in work on. Whether that's relationships or career or school or whatever, it's this rhythm. God did not rest on the seventh day because he was burnt out or sick of his coworkers. It was an intentional choice to say it is time to rest. The moment we are so exhausted is the moment we need to reassess our work habits. All too often our vacation or our time off has just become a way to escape from reality, expecting time off to fix unhealthy work habits would be like filling up your car with gasoline and expecting it to also change the oil for you. Like, these are two different things. We rest and we work in healthy ways. We rest and we work in healthy ways. There is this symbiotic relationship between the two. When Moses told Israel, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, I don't think it was because they had forgotten. I believe if you have parents or grandparents, they love to tell you about what it was like when they were younger. I don't imagine a single one of these 40-year-olds or 20-year-olds or 10-year-olds didn't know about the Exodus and slavery. This is me a little bit in the white space, but I think that this is Moses saying, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, but God freed you from that life that was imposed upon you. So don't put it back on yourself. You have been called out from that. It's so easy to forget that we are more than just what we produce or what we do, that our value isn't from what we accomplish. What we do should flow from who we are, not the other way around. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, says, for we are God's masterpiece. This word masterpiece, the Greek word is the word poema, which is where we get the word poem. This is the way that we were created, is like God's poem. We are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things that he's planned for us. There's an invitation for us to recognize first and foremost that we are a masterpiece. We have value, beauty, worth, and we are invited into this rhythm that God modeled for us of work and rest, and then commanded for us to follow of work and rest. So as we start to see the sun set on summer vacation and begin preparing for the fall and the work that comes along with it, I pray that each of us is able to remember these things, that we have to plan and protect rest, and that good time off cannot fix what bad time on has broken. We're invited to live in the rhythm of God's creation, the beauty and the goodness of both work and rest. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for the ways that we get to see your tender love towards your children in Scripture, when you get to gently remind them that they can rest. And God, I believe that some of us today, we need that tender voice, that it's okay to rest. I believe that there's others of us that need that stern parental reminder that we were slaves, that we were freed from the kingdom that said that all of our worth is based on what we produce, and that we now are invited to live in your kingdom, which says that we are a masterpiece, that we have value, beauty, worth, because we are your children. And out of that space, we both work and rest. God, I pray that for each of us in this room, that we would be able to hold on to the truth that you have for us today. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.